using that as feeding bottle.
From the 10 of member countries of ASEAN, the three that left is Brunei Darussalam, Laos, and Cambodia. So we have a 7 in Pretoria representing ASEAN.
Okay, the request that has been made by a good Charles and in concurrence with our chairperson, and Parliament sought to place it to the agenda, formal agenda of Parliament for this meeting. And I guess you want to meet on the question of your ambassador's on the expose of what you call bilateral and trade relations between your ASEAN and South Africa, and between individual ASEAN member countries and South Africa. So we'll, according to the agenda, we'll give you the opening remarks, and then we have a... Have you got a copy of the agenda? Yes, we have a copy of the agenda. Could you just... And then we have a brief expose of bilateral and trade relations between ASEAN and South Africa. And the resume should be the slight exchange of views. But Your Excellency, we want to apologize up front that we have got to conclude this session by 5 to 12. Because at 12 o'clock we have got to be the National Assembly.
Okay, well, we need to can expedite, I think, our activity, as you have already mentioned and reflected on our agenda today.
Over to you.
I would like to briefly touch on Indonesia and South Africa, and then all the other member countries that I expressed about the relations between individual countries. In Indonesian terms, in 2007, the trade between two countries, between the export Indonesia to South Africa, is increased more than 40%, from 429 billion in the year 2006, that in 2007, Indonesian export to South Africa around 610 or something. And then both bilateral trade are almost 900 million US dollars. Quite was a significant increase from 2006 was compared in 2006. So this is, I think, that our business prospect is quite good between the two countries. Indonesian export to South Africa almost palm oil, copper, coal, machinery, electrical, cocoa, footwear, and rubber, textile, and furniture. And the South Africa export to Indonesia, almost the commodities consist of pulp and waste paper, aluminium, cotton, textile yarn, iron and steel, direct products, fertilizer and cotton. So this is, I think, that the what the brief between relation trade between Indonesia and South Africa. So I believe in 2008 and in the future will be very good prospect between the two countries, especially if you look at the Indonesia as a member of ASEAN. In 2007, ASEAN economy has increased very good, and then we three regions, I think, in the Asia is to be prospectively to very good economic growth in 2007. India, ASEAN member countries, and China. This is, I think, that's why that we are here to meet you in order to exchange of views regarding how that we can develop trade between ASEAN and South Africa. So, Paru,
thank you, Chairman, for giving this the agenda. We have to share this with you. First of all, let me come to some statistics. The financial trade between South Africa and Singapore in 2006 was about $1.1 billion. And the balance was in favor of Singapore, minor margin. In 2006, there was a huge rise due to some extraordinary factors which we cannot replicate in 2007. It went up to the $1.7 billion in terms of US dollar trade. The last year, it came to about $1.3 billion, as we said, where the 2006 was very extraordinary due to some special exports. And by and large, exports from Singapore is IT products, petrochemicals, plastics, and high-end materials. From South Africa, of course, automotive, cars, and many other things. There is much room for improvement between South Africa and Singapore, and Singapore is a kind of an emporium that it sits in the crossroads of the East and the West. I think with this notion of free trade agreement, either ASEAN SADC, ASEAN SADC, or on bilateral level, it will improve. Now, coming back to this foreign policy, our foreign policy in Singapore is that it's informed by a number of deep considerations. Yes, the Singapore's foreign policy is informed by its desire to be friendly with the nations surrounding it and also its national nations. Second, it's also built on the trade. The trade is an important aspect of a foreign policy. In other words, a small country with 700 square kilometers, and we have to provide for people, we don't have any natural resources. We have to buy water from neighboring countries, sand and rock also to build a country. The other one is free trade. It's becoming one of the principal pillars on which we rely on. We are promoting free trade between many countries, and we hope at some stage or other, South Africa will also fall in line. The next one is combating terrorism. I don't have to explain further. It's one of the pillars of foreign policy. Then the next one is dispute resolution. We believe that any dispute, either between nation states or internationally, it must be resolved according to international norms. So we have been following faithfully. The other one is interfaith unity. Singapore is a multicultural, multi-religious society, and we take the integration of the various cultures and religions are very important. So that's another one. Of course, aligned to that is a non-interference with the affairs of other states. Similarly, we expect other nations to respect our sovereignty. One of the important aspects which came about also last year to be part of ASEAN. The ASEAN, as my chairman pointed out, it comprises 10 nations, 7 of us here, 3 are there. And we signed a charter, ASEAN charter, last year in Singapore. We have ratified it, and we hope to establish the ASEAN Economic Community for 2015. And, of course, climate change is taking center stage of our foreign policy, also non-proliferation of these weapons of mass destruction and other actions. I have met most of you before. A good friend of mine is chairing the meeting. I'm very glad to meet him again. And I met him last in Durban when I visited the city. And I hope I know that South Africa's foreign policy is informed by the central pillar of NEPAD and also the new Africa Asia Strategic Partnership. The time is short. I will come back to you later today and talk with you.
Thank you very much, Chairman. You know that Vietnam and South Africa established diplomatic relations only 1993. And now the bilateral trade between Vietnam and South Africa reached about $150 million. Per year, and mostly we export to South Africa the furniture, the rice, black paper, and footwear, and we import from South Africa steel and element of the machines, etc. But now the our policy, the first policy in South Africa is that we consider the South Africa as the very important sanction to enter another market. If that from South Africa we can enter the market of Mozambique, Namibia, and other countries in Southern Africa. And now we have two in joint venture in Vietnam, from South Africa to Vietnam. And one is the familiar beer in Ho Chi Minh City, and other the Coca-Cola in two provinces in north and one in Ho Chi Minh City. And we would like to improve the trade between the two countries. So the remember that in November of 2004, our Prime Minister Phan Van Khai visited South Africa, and last year in May, the President of South Africa, Mr. Thabo Mbeki, visited Vietnam, and so it made a new step of the relationship and the
Thank you very much. Well, good morning, gentlemen and ladies. As you know, the Philippines was the first Asian republic since we established our independence from Spain on June 12, 1898. So we celebrate 110 years this year. From 1972 to 1986, we had an authoritarian government under President Marcos. And as you know, worldwide, the Philippines was known for its people power movement. And we have been in the democratic mode since 1986, constituting 21 years. With regard to relations between the Philippines and South Africa, we have a lot of people-to-people exchanges. South Africans have gone to the Philippines to avail of our technical cooperation program, and we intend to sign a cultural agreement with South Africa. Among the products that we trade from our side to South Africa are tuna, beer, sardines, condiments, automotive and electronic parts, as well as niche furniture and accessories. And, lots of Filipinos now work in South Africa. There are about 1,500, and recently in connection with the Hauteng train project. So we have technicians, as well as garment and textile workers, and specialists have come here. Also those who work for international organizations. with regard to certain problems that now preoccupy South Africa, since we're in dialogue with other parliamentarians as well, we have suggested that they take a look at the Filipino model, because under President Ramos, who left office in 1998, we had problems of electricity. And that was because when President Aquino took over from President Marcos, there was not a projection of what we would need in terms of our energy. So therefore, the lack of planning during that period was, faced up to privatization and modernization of our electrical system in the period of President Ramos. So that was in 1998, about 10 years ago. Also the time when President Nelson Mandela visited the Philippines in 1997. Now we also, I think, had a good solution in terms of our telecoms and banking because there were monopolies that were present. So we allowed foreign investment and participation. The landlines were not enough to cover the 7,107 islands, but the cell phones now are the means, one very good means of communication throughout. And they said that in 1 month of the Philippines before, it was equivalent to 1 year of texting in the European Union. And also with regard to its politics as well, communication through the cell phone is been quite advanced in that. In banking as well, the monopolies of local banks were broken by allowing foreign banks to come in. And that means that the charges of the banks are not as high as, for example, what we might encounter here in South Africa. Now, the IPU meeting was held in Manila about 3 years ago. And Speaker Balete Umbete also went, as well as representatives of the DA and the ID. And there will be some Filipino parliamentarians who will be coming here. So I would be very glad if they could meet some of you if you're free during that period. I also wish to say that Senator Miriam Defensor Santiago, who is a lady senator and head of the Foreign Relations Committee, will be visiting Pretoria around March 5 to 7 because she's also our candidate to the International Court of Justice, for which we've also sought the support and vote of South Africa. I just wish to mention that women play a very important role in the Philippines, and we've been ranked in the world as being among the top 10, you know, with only Asian groups that have made it in the top 10. We're number 6 in terms of gender equality. We have had two women presidents, so that should give us an idea of how women are afforded their proper status in the Philippines. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Now, our colleague from Thailand.
Just to brief you on the bilateral trade, two-way trade last year, about $1.6 billion. I don't know whether my colleague here would agree with me that we have had this trading cut of South Africa, where we export about $1.2 billion. And we look forward for further expansion of our bilateral trade site. For tourism, thanks to the Thai Airlines that we have been flight to Bangkok since last year. That brought last year about 50,000, we got 53,000 South Africans in Thailand. Whereas Thai people came here, just increased steadily, roughly about 9,000 to 10,000. And for investment, there's a big opportunity here, that especially for small and medium sized companies, of course, beginning their like high risk on mainly in bars and some new for export companies and food stuff and rice. But now we have potential for investing in mining, especially in coal for export. So this is in mutual interest in future. We are working very hard to get back to the economy to visit South Africa as a black. And we're looking for more money.
Thank you
very much. It's an honor for me to meet members of the I'm the minister of the from what I've seen, the faces of bilateral relations, I would say, is excellent and warm. We have various contacts and various hierarchy of government, from the top of the ship right down to the people. But President Becky was in this year in 2003. My Prime Minister was here in 2005. My Prime Minister would like to term our leadership in South Africa as a strategic partner. We are very happy to say that our bilateral trade has been increasing at an average of 7% annually. Last year, the figure stood at $1.14 billion bilateral trade. Our exports about $700 million into South Africa. Major exports include electronics, palm oil, and related products, wood and furniture, and the latest addition to that is automobiles. We export in our national car, the first one into South Africa. South Africa is our largest trading partner on the continent. And we do import quite a lot from South Africa. But trade is slightly in our favor. Our imports include minerals, chemicals, and small machinery. The other thing we're proud to announce is that we are probably the biggest investor from ASEAN into South Africa. Our total investment is about US$2.2 billion. US$2 billion, mostly in petrochemical. As you all can see, Engen, the petrochemical company, is 80% Malaysian owned and 20% BE owned. We are happy to share a lot of ideas and discussion with South Africa on the question of black economic empowerment. Also, under Engen, we have a big refinery in Durban which supplies about 15% of the oil used in this country. And we also involved in property development, and Malaysia Airlines flies 3 times a week into South Africa. And out of the 3 flights, 2 flights go on to Buenos Aires. We feel the connection is important. It brings Latin America and South Africa to civilization. And between two countries, we share a lot of common values on foreign affairs. We are both members of UN, non-aligned movement, we are members of the Commonwealth. And we work closely in WTO to promote a fairer and more balanced trade between the North and the South. And we are always happy to work with South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Yahya.
Thank you. We established a diplomatic relation with Myanmar and South Africa since 1992. Now we are, as you know, we are still trying to establish a democratic nation. Meanwhile, the South African government just opened a diplomatic link and no more of the link in other countries. So it is funny to say about the bilateral trade between our two countries. And also our government has adopted the open market origination system since the beginning of the 1990s. At that time, we were made a lot of sanctions and embargo on trade sector, trade and economic sector by the Western countries. Therefore, we made a trade with our region, our Asian. But we have already announced the last 2 days that our military government will pull the election at 2010. So I hope after the 2010 we can extend by better trade between my country and South Africa and also Africa.
Thank you. It's very clear that ASEAN, trade between ASEAN and South Africa is increasing. It calculated all the individual countries' exports to South Africa almost, I think, between $4 and $5 billion. It is almost 10%, 9% of the total export, total trade of South Africa. And then
look at them carefully about how that ASEAN would like to reach Africa. From the ASEAN member countries, we have three carriers directly direct flights from our region. For example, from Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, Johannesburg, Thai Airways, and Singapore Airlines in the Congo. Yeah. Singapore Airlines certainly was connected between two countries. And then I would like to hear how the philosophical of ASEAN, because if you look at very carefully about the ASEAN established in 1967, since 1967, our founding father trying to cultivate among ASEAN member countries culture of peace. That's why that since 1967 there is no conflict at all in Southeast Asia, because we agree among the ASEAN member countries, if there is an issue among countries, we should settle through negotiation, and then we should avoid to use military force. This is, I think, the beauty of ASEAN organization in our region. That's why that with this philosophy that all the ASEAN member countries can contribute to their development, especially in economy. And then now it's manufacturing the field of economy in our region, Malaysia, the Philippines, even Vietnam, and Indonesia. And then how that the ASEAN dealing with the other region. For example, ASEAN have links with the Pacific through APEC, Asia-Pacific Economic Association. ASEAN also initiated the cooperation with EU through ASEAN, Asia-Europe Economic Association. And with Latin America, ASEAN, we call PEALA, which is Asia, Latin America Economic Organization Association. And then last but not least, that we link it between ASEAN, Asia and Africa through New Asia Africa Strategic Partnership. This is initiative from ASEAN in order to have good cooperation between all the continents all over the world. This is, I think, that's why that Master Rubin and Mike Richter, we would like to share with all the countries in this continent to develop cooperation and then bilateral cooperation with all the countries in the African continent. This is, I think, that I would like to add something before I give the floor to Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before I proceed, I just want to introduce another member of our team, Professor Ben Churoff, who has just joined us last year. Now, any questions or statements from our side? I'll just take all the names first. Ben? Anybody else? Sheila? Ben again? Okay, we'll have these three. I have some comments at the end. Perhaps question. Go ahead, Ben.
Thank you very much. I'm from the Trade and Industry Committee. We're meeting tomorrow, and I shall report there that you were here and that just maybe the beginning of the dialogue. It's very important that trade and industry should be involved in this kind of discussion, not only foreign affairs, but we're both very important. Secondly, as you know, South Africa is beginning to play a lot of emphasis on South-South trade. So this is rather an important event, and we should take it very seriously. we could take it even more seriously if we had a joint statement from it. You know, one of the difficulties of South-South relations is that they tend to be between individual countries. Now, we are establishing very good relationships between Brazil, India, and South Africa as a kind of foundation. But the coordination of those relationships are very important. Because you can stay at the diplomatic level and nothing will move. So if you have a document which indicates your coordinated effort in the economic terrain particularly, I certainly would be very, very interested in that. We do need to get a view of your region as a whole and not only individual countries. Because the bilateral relations are on the whole rather small.
Yes.
And we need to talk region to region. Finally, just to say, Chair, that it's nice to talk about free trade, but free trade between whom? You see, the South African experience is that free trade between South Africa and Europe is asymmetrical, is uneven. So we're beginning to say, free trade, yes, but between whom? And we want to see free trade between South-South, much more. In order to diversify our international economic relations. We are locked into Europe and to some extent the United States. We want to diversify. So let's talk about free trade, but between whom?
Thank you. Sheila?
Thank you, Chair. And it was really interesting hearing about the extent of the trade between our countries. My other real committee interest is justice and the criminal aspects of things. And I wondered if any of the High Commissioners or Ambassadors would be able to comment on the growing phenomenon that we have here in human trafficking, because some of your countries are mentioned in this connection quite often, certainly in the media reports. And it seems to be a burgeoning problem. And I just wondered if anybody would like to comment on what possible steps are being taken from your side.
Mr. Kosana?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I must also thank Your Excellency for the brief presentation. And I think we also ought to learn from that aspect of your philosophy which establishes which I think is economic interdependence. When you begin forming the association in 1997, then I think it was one of those principles which brought you together to and also economic cooperation and the aspect of culture. Now, the other thing that I've noticed is that you're quite a powerful talk. I think we also need to know how you brought about the resilience. And you started with five countries,
okay.
And you ended up with 10. But you also have the dialogue partners,
yes,
which are very powerful, like Russia and China. Now, how do you maintain that resilience? Because one of your principles also is to safeguard against the association. And I think you've done that so well for some time. I just want to know how you do it, because in most cases, if you're not going to safeguard against it and have that resilience, then you're going to lose your economic progress. And I see that you've done that. I think you need to know how you did that.
Thank you. I'll take the next.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That, I quite agree that it's a ban about we need the joint statement on the block. If ASEAN has a secretariat in Jakarta, and then this is quite strong, because since the year 2000, we launched the ASEAN Free Trade Area. And then I think that between country, this is 0% tariff to trade among countries. For example, now the Thailand, 17% of export, which is among the ASEAN member countries.
Malaysia, export of Malaysia, I think around the 60 or 50% of intra-regional.
Okay.
Even Indonesia also, around 45 or 40% of our export. This is depend on our market, because our market is quite huge, and then increasing every year. Almost 560 million people live in the ASEAN itself. So I quite agree that in free trade, this is take lesson from ASEAN. We never, as a bloc, we never do with the other countries before we make our arrangement itself in free trade. Because more important from the ASEAN point of view, level of playing field is quite important. In, for example, when we have five original members, it is the same level. When we invite in 1995, 1997, until 1999, the other member countries joined with ASEAN, we gave the transitional period in order to catch up our level of development. And all the five original member countries have this, the new member, in order to catch up their development. Now, I think that Vietnam catch up of from the five, Brunei and Vietnam catch up in the same playing field. Now, I think that our member country focus on to achieve the three other member countries in order to catch up in 2013 with the same level with all the member countries. This is that I quite agree that not to do north and south free trade, but south-south trade. And then I can facilitate in order to have a contact with ASEAN Secretariat, because ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta, so it's quite easy for the Indonesia to facilitate your request in order to know exactly how that the ASEAN as a bloc would like to have the free trade with the other bloc, like a target or something like that. Regarding human trafficking, it's quite interesting, but I would like to share, in 1992, ASEAN started to develop what we call non-traditional security issues. This is including not only human trafficking, illegal drug trafficking, and then terrorism, organized crime. We worked together since 1992, even before the September 11, we have already discussed regarding this measure among the ASEAN member countries. In order to capture, to overcome, especially human trafficking in our region, we have cooperation among police, all the member countries, and then immigration, and then the third one is customs. This is the group have a system in every country, and then they have a link directly in order to inform each other if there is a case. And then they always convene the meeting every year, and then exchange of views regarding this matter. Even that in Indonesia, after Indonesia victimized by terrorism three times, I think, in 2003 and 2002, this is in Bali bombing, 2003 front of GW Marriott in Jakarta, and 2004 we attack also with terrorism in Indonesia in the front of the Australian embassy. We established, because we look at very useful, I think, that Indonesia police established a center how to indicate what the terrorism or something like that. And we share also with all the ASEAN member countries. Also, I think in Malaysia, have a center also, I think, center for terrorism also. We have already in Thailand, in Singapore also. This is, I think, that if regarding non-traditional security issues, the most important cooperation, not only police, custom and immigration, but also intelligence, is more important to have cooperation. This is also we have established regarding this matter in order to cope with this non-traditional security issue. This power block, resilience is more important and quite serious. In 1976, I think that we started with the resilience ourselves with fire, and now with steps. There is what motto in Asia is quite interesting. National resilience in every member country will impact the ASEAN countries. This is, we look at internally and we look at also externally. Internally, if we have not very stability in political and economy, we can contribute to our peace. So, in order to face the external power, in 1994, we established, we know exactly that we depend also on external power because all the power, superpower, interest to our region. That's why we established ASEAN Regional Forum. This is basically only discuss about security issues. And then the member of ASEAN Regional Forum decides the ASEAN impact. This is all the superpowers like the United States, European Union, and then Russia, China, Japan, the Republic of Korea, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, even North Korea also, member of ASEAN Regional Forum. Through this forum, we try to discuss about all the interests of power in our region. And then we keep until today, this forum is quite useful because this is only the forum, I think, all over the world, discuss the security in the region and inform all the superpowers who is interest of the power. That's why that in order to protect our resilience from external power, we establish this forum, and then we trying to inform all of the issues of the regional issues with all the superpowers. At least that all the superpowers have the first information from ourselves about the issues. This is, I think, that how that the ASEAN dealing with the external powers, and then with the this kind of the forum, at least that we trying to establish the confidence building measure between all the countries, and then more easily to settle from the forum through forum if we have a different view in all the issues and security. This is, I think, that I would like to. I don't know exactly that my.
Can I add one short comment on human trafficking? I like to see South Africa, both the government and the legislation, to give priority to human trafficking as a national issue. I learned that the human trafficking draft has been in the parliament for the last 3-4 years, if I'm not mistaken. That shows somehow the how serious it is, you know, both the government and the legislative body look at this issue. Because I've been talking to police and public prosecutors, they quite have difficulty in tackling human trafficking because it's international network.
Mm-hmm.
And what they can use now is only racketeering or prostitution, which they cannot eradicate the root. If you have human trafficking law, you can confiscate you know, money, laundering, whatever, from this white. It's slavery, actually. As far as Thailand is concerned, we are now drafting, I think it's almost completed now, memorandum of understanding between Thailand and South Africa on prevention and suppression of human trafficking. As for your information, we have now 7 Thai girls in Durban who volunteer to be safe in the country to punish those, you know, networks in Durban especially. But they have been waiting, you know, on the wing for 8 months now to be called to appear in court. And the schedule for May this year. So it'll be 12 months. And they volunteer to give evidence to the court, you know, to arrest the culprit. So just this delay, just this lockdown.
Okay, thank you very much.
Just very briefly, I just wanted to say we had a very successful dialogue with ASEAN High Commissioners and Ambassadors at the University of Stellenbosch, and one of the points made there as to, you know, our character and our way of dealing with the world as well as with each other is that, well, we are, you know, when you join in a regional group, you have to make some compromises in the sense that you have to give something in order to gain something back. And one of our traits is that we have adopted English as a common language. So it's not like the European Union, which has to adapt to translate from one language into the other, which is very bureaucratic and results in longer meetings and all that. That's one way. And the second thing is that we have an informal approach among us so that we're able to settle things before they get out of hand, you know. So I think that this is the Asian way. We also learn from you as in Ubuntu, but we also have our ASEAN way of dealing with
you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't think I can entertain any more questions now because we are going to run out of time. Let me just have the last, I'm not going to ask the question, just the observation. We are very happy to have had you here. I believe your resilience is also due to the fact that you historically have proactive measures taken to have your relative peace amongst your nations in ASEAN. Now, you might not be an ideal association of nations, but we are attracted from South Africa to the success that you are. But what I want to raise with you is the question of your participation as individual nations or as a region in the transformation of Africa and the programs of NAPAR. Perhaps you can look at it in your own respective forums, but we will be very interested in knowing as to how you're involved in the restoration of similar practices and the introduction of programs and projects for the for the regeneration of Africa. We know you stand on nuclear power nations, especially your North Korean neighbor, who is the only one at the stage, but we do know your stand on it. We are closely watching your relationships with both China and India as relative competitors in terms of both trade and other issues. I'm drawing your attention to these because we can't have a debate here on them. The last thing that I would like to raise with you is the question of religious and cultural diversity within your countries and within the region. So how do you handle them? There are some places where it is not very well handled. There are other places which is handling them well. And especially religious conflict which is linked to terrorism. I mean, Indonesia has been a victim of this, and you have been very polite in saying that you have just had 3 incidents. But for us in the international community, is a major event against the democratic practice and against the restoration of peace and stability in the world for global coexistence. Thank you very, very much for making yourselves available, and we're looking forward to both bilaterally and multilaterally support from you in Africa.
Thank you, and then on behalf of the ASEAN Ambassador, I can also would like to thank you very much for your time. And then I wish that we have the time and then we can discuss about your observations. But really, that this is reserved for the next year, that when we meet again with you, then in the area of communication. And then I'm looking forward to receiving you all in Pretoria, and then we can discuss your observation in Pretoria. Thank you very much for
thank you. Shout out from your respective country. Thank you very much. You're welcome to our National Assembly for this 1 hour service here that we're going to have. And the debate on the President's speech begins at 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock,
very good.